That better? Ah, okay. Thank you. It's hard to tell from where I am. Our New Testament lesson is from John chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jacob was the lowest of the low. He was a cheat, a scoundrel, a thief. With cunning, he had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright and patriarchal blessing. Even worse, he had deceived and lied to his own father, a father aged, infirm, and almost blind. No wonder Jacob was now on the road. He wasn't welcome at home anymore. He had become persona non grata, a person no longer wanted. His father despised him, and his brother hated him. In fact, Scripture tells us that his brother had even made plans to kill him. In Genesis 28:38, we read, "Esau hated Jacob and said to himself, 'My father will die soon. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" Perhaps Jacob deserved to be despised and hated. After all, Scripture warns, "Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap." Jacob had sown discord and treachery in his own family household, and now he was reaping the harvest. But I can't help feeling sorry for Jacob, fleeing from his home, from everything that was familiar to him, walking on a road toward an uncertain future. He was, for the first time in his life, all alone, cut off from his past, a rejected, defeated, pitiful young man. Jacob's thoughts were probably filled with self-reproach as he trudged along the dark and unknown way that stretched out before him. Why, in his attempt to climb the ladder of family success, had he put at risk everything he held dear? Why had he transgressed the laws of both man and God in his selfish quest for personal gain? If only he could undo the things he had done. If only he could erase the sins that he had committed. But it was too late. All the regret he might muster, all the tears that he might be able to shed, could not wash away the crimes he had committed against his family. Those foul deeds were etched now into the record of his life. But not only did Jacob feel terrible remorse, he undoubtedly was disturbed by the anxious and fearful thoughts Jacob had. For example, Jacob knew that his brother Esau was a skilled and expert huntsman. Maybe at this very moment, Esau was tracking him down, preparing under the cover of night to catch him and kill him like a beast of prey. Jacob also knew that the countryside, that place where he was walking, was inhabited by wild and dangerous animals. Bands of thieves also roamed the region in his day. They commonly attacked and killed solitary strangers. Put all of this together, and the summary is this: Jacob's life was in jeopardy. He was fully aware that this night, this very night, might be the last he would walk on the face of the earth. Jacob was physically exhausted. Emotionally and spiritually, he was worn out too. So Jacob finally stopped. Despite inner turmoil, despite his fears and the knowledge of the dangers around him, he decided to rest. He had to. He just couldn't stumble on any farther. Jacob looked around, gathered up a stone for a pillow, spread his garments over the ground, and lay down to sleep. This was the lowest point in Jacob's life. As he looked up into the starry night, he must have felt like a forsaken orphan in a vast, uncaring universe. Yes, he was alone. But it was at this rock-bottom moment that Jacob encountered something so imposing, so amazing, that it changed his life forever. Jacob experienced God. That is often the way it happens, isn't it? When we're alone, when the world has receded and we're cut off from the familiar things we have known, it is then that God chooses to intersect our lives. We come into this world alone, and we leave it alone. But loneliness can be, although solemn, it can be used for the instruction of our souls. Jacob had been subjected to a father whose favorite son was not him. It was Esau. Jacob had also been subjected to the voice and pressures of a mother who was ambitious on his behalf because Jacob was her favorite. But when he was away from father, from mother, from angry brother, when he was away from all these pressures, then God spoke to him. You and I need seasons of solitude, seasons of meditation. We need time to be alone, to think, to reflect. We need a place to which we can withdraw. If you're living at such a frantic pace that you have no time for withdrawing, if you're so busy that you have no opportunity to be completely by yourself, then you are denying yourself a great chance, a chance to grow nearer to God and to hear His voice that sometimes speaks quietly, sometimes directly to you. Jacob was given such a time. As he slept, Jacob had a dream. He saw a ladder reaching from heaven to earth. And he saw on that ladder angels ascending and descending. The ladder represented a new life, a new direction, a way of finding meaning, a way of finding fulfillment. Before Jacob had sought by himself to climb the ladder of family success. He had wanted to lead the family, not to follow. He had wanted to be the greater brother, not the lesser. But in his attempt to achieve greatness on his own, he had brought himself to the brink of disaster. He nearly lost his own life in the process. But by the mercy and grace of God, in this special dream, God was revealing another way to greatness. He was showing Jacob not the ladder of success, but the ladder to heaven. It was as though God were saying, "Jacob, Jacob, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you." Here was a new set of values, a different list of priorities. The way of life was not to be found in self-seeking, but in seeking and following God. And God, his presence revealed at the very pinnacle of this ladder, made a promise to Jacob. He said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your descendants, and I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." Immediately Jacob woke up trembling with awe, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven." And Jacob called that place Bethel, meaning home of God. There is a reference to the story of Jacob in the New Testament, which is a fitting way to conclude this sermon. 2,000 years later, after Jacob's vision and the stairway reaching from earth to heaven, there was another Jew named Nathanael. He was meditating on the words of God. Quite possibly he was meditating on this story, wondering how there could ever be a bridge from earth to heaven. How could a normal person like himself know that God was with him? While he was probably thinking along these lines, his friend Philip came to him with the staggering announcement, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael was skeptical. "Nazareth? How can anything good come from there?" he asked. Philip answered by taking him to Jesus. For a short while, Jesus and Nathanael talked, and after that, Nathanael declared his belief that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and the King of Israel. It was in Jesus' reply to Nathanael's confession that we have reference to Genesis. Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? In the future, you shall see greater things than that. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It's not clear to the future occasion to which our Lord was referring. I believe that it was to that coming day when we shall all see the Lord coming in the clouds. According to Matthew 16, in his Father's glory with his angels. But the important thing in the saying is the obvious application of the image of the heavenly stairway to Jesus himself. That is, when Jesus spoke of the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, he was saying that he was the ladder. The ladder from heaven to earth, upon which alone men and women may pass from earth to heaven. "I," says Jesus, "I and the one who is the ladder. If you want to reach heaven, you must come by me. In the final analysis, the story of Jacob's vision at Bethel directs us to Jesus, just as all the great stories of the Old Testament do. And the concluding question is this: have you seen Jesus? Have you come to know the one who alone has bridged the gap between heaven and earth? Who alone has promised to be all things to those who trust and obey him? You may be lonely as Jacob was. You may be discouraged and hated. You may be fearful and anxious. You may be at the rock bottom of your life. Whatever you're experiencing and however you may feel, I direct you to Jesus. He is the ever-present companion to the lonely. He is the glory and honor to the forlorn. He is the rock to those who are fearful and anxious. Jesus is God with us, the one who bridged the gap, the Lord Emmanuel. And he is with us here now. Let us pray. Look, I think I see heaven opening and a stairway descending from heaven. I see angels coming and going, and I see Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to look up and perceive, no matter at what point in life we may be. Help us to see clearly and be awed by the sight. Then we will go away saying, surely the Lord was in this place and I was not aware of it. This has been none other than the house of God. Amen.